You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Aaron Schatz is going to join us at 4:15. Schatz was part of a panel that included Lewis Riddick with ESPN, and they put together a piece of content just earlier this week that looks at the next 3 years of the NFL. And basically, let's rank the teams based on their current situation and what their three-year outlook is. I think they had the Niners at eighth.
Eighth overall. That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Especially when you think about 3 years from now, you're probably going to need, between now and then, a left tackle. I mean, Trent said he wants to play as long as he can play, but he'll be 40 in 3 years. I think Fred Warner would be near the end at that point at 33. Kittle would be 35. McCaffrey would be 33. So when you think about in 3 years, like, you're going to probably have to replace all of them. Purdy will still be under contract making that chicken. Ayuk would be probably elsewhere by then, or healthy and good enough to where he's become a next level guy. And then you look at all these youngsters that you have, they're all going to be either extended or kept, or, you know, new guys will take their place.
How y'all feel about, like, we spent so much time talking about the Niners this year. How do y'all feel about the future, but short term? The short term future of the 49ers right now. I mean, my sort of like comfort in all of this, and I do hear it in Kyle Shanahan's voice, even though yesterday we spoke a lot about how the Niners are tempering expectations. They're trying to remind people, we're not rebuilding, but boy, we've had to retool a lot. We've got a lot of young guys. We're not going to know how good they are until midseason, maybe even next season. You hope that they get better each week. All these kinds of quotes, right? So they're out there tempering enthusiasm. But at the same time, I do know that the 49ers, when this particular regime took them over, they were the worst team in the league. They were the worst roster in the league. They waltzed in and they replaced just about everybody in the starting lineup on both sides of the ball, save a couple people here or there. So what I'm saying is, this is the group who did this once before, and they did it at a time where it was much harder. It was much harder than it is now, because that group did not have a bunch of good players on the team. This group has a bunch of good players on the team. So this is a smaller job. And you do it on the fly a little bit more. And last time they were able to take that from the worst team in the league to the Super Bowl in 2 years. And so I'm not saying that it'll be perfect this time around, but I already know that this group can do it. They did it once when it was way harder than it is now. I think that that's got to be a comforting feeling for 49er fans. This group knows how to roster construct, despite all of the misses in the early rounds of the draft that many of you will point out.
Right. And I don't, well, a couple of things. One, they weren't the worst team in the league. Cleveland was 1-15, which is why the Niners picked second. So
worst roster in the league, in my opinion.
Perhaps.
Is what I was
I'd have to
at.
Look at the Cleveland roster because yeah. My gut tells me that Cleveland's roster was somehow worse. But Shanahan said it in that cut. We've all played for a couple of days about them changing out everyone on offense and stuff except for Joe Staley. And the defense was the same. And it took a couple of years to get it rolling. But it did help that you had the number two overall pick, and you did have some high first-round picks. But yeah, roster construction-wise, they've been able to do it, and they've actually made two runs at the Lombardi over his tenure, and they've done it with two different quarterbacks, and they've done it with, you know, two different core running back guys. McCaffrey was a part of one, but not the other. Kittle's one of the only people offensively to be a part of both of them, and so, yeah, I give them a lot of faith. I have faith that they can do it again, and honestly, it should already be underway. Last year's draft class was good enough to where you have a lot of those guys as starters now. If this draft class, with more players that you picked, can be that good, well then, the reload, so to speak, is already underway.
I'll say this, and this is not a rational thought. It is just a feeling. You ever get the feeling where you're just, you know, it's almost like that whenever you leave for vacation, you're like, damn it, I feel like I left something at home. Probably not. Maybe. So what if you did? You can buy a new toothbrush when you get there. But we have those gut feelings, and I don't know what it was, but I woke up today and I went, what if this is heading a complete different direction than what I think a lot of people are thinking right now? I think that there is a sort of cautious optimism about the Niners. But there's also this, like, woo, there's a lot of question marks, and definitely early in the year, there's going to be some holes, and they'll probably lead to some lost games there. The wide receiver core is a mess. We don't even really know who's starting at half the defensive positions. It's probably going to be a problem. But I woke up today, and I went, you know what? What if this does mimic the first time that Kyle Shanahan sort of built a roster? And everybody thought they were going to go 5-11. And they came out and went to the Super Bowl, and they were phenomenal. Like, they were really good. They didn't lose a game, I think, until week 9.
Yep.
They were fantastic. And I was like, what if that happens? What if Williams and West and or Collins and Siegel at safety, like, what if they're a bunch of studs? And what if Mustafa gets added back to this, and Ayuk gets added back to this, and Pearsall pops and Christian stays healthy, and like, what if the Niners are fantastic? And so I'm thinking that, and I'm crossing the bridge, and then Evan and Goo have Lo Neal on. Your boy comes on, and this is an incredibly small sample, but he pointed something out. Do you realize that last week we had what felt like to me an avalanche of concern based on the fact that the 49ers got whipped around joint practice
right.
with the Broncos? They did, right?
Sure.
Shasky called in and everything was a problem. But there's been no talk about the fact that 2 days later they played an actual game. And the Niners twos played the Broncos ones for an entire quarter of football. And as Lo Neal, his words not mine, on both sides of the ball, totally dominated the Denver Broncos.
Right.
To a 9-0 score at the end of one quarter.
But what about our threes, Mark? Our threes couldn't stand up.
What about the threes? They're going to get cut. That's what's going to happen to the threes. So is that fair? Do you feel the same way? Did we have way more discussion about the first 27 minutes of a joint practice than we did about the first 15 minutes of an actual game that went the exact opposite direction?
Yeah, we probably did, but I'm always of the mind where preseason results don't matter. Joint practices and Apologies to Elliot Shore Parks of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh my God.
Put out that Sirianni, they're 10-3 in joint practices.
That was an one of the more embarrassing tweets I've ever seen.
Without a doubt. And if you don't know what we're talking about, he personally has graded every joint practice under Sirianni, and he decides who wins the joint practice, which is comical in and of itself, but then to put out a record based on your observations is embarrassing. So I look at joint practices and I think about how players look in one-on-ones. I'm not there. I lean on the experts who see it. And, you know, you hear a lot about Sebastian Valdez, and I can't wait to see him in another game. He's the guy who's about 5'11", 300, and he's exactly what they kind of need, a real space eater in the A-gap, and three technique, as Lo was talking earlier. And so when we get into another preseason game, all of that matters a little bit. Then you get to week one, and we're going to find out exactly what this team is all about.
Can I read this tweet to you? Elliot Shore Parks. He's an Eagles reporter for WIP in Philadelphia.
Sister station, right?
Yeah.
We should have him on.
Yeah, well, or not, because, you know, and Elliot does this, and that's fine. Elliot is a little bit of a social media flamethrower, if you will. And
it's pom-poms, too, when it comes to the Eagles.
And that's fine. Like, whatever. Like, we've all got our perspective, but this is such, I don't even know if he meant this to be some sort of a fireball. But listen to this. I don't even understand what the first sentence means, to be honest with you. This is what he wrote. Sirianni and Hurts are now 10-3 in joint practices after splitting with the Cleveland Browns. What does that mean? Splitting.
I think that
means
they
have multiple joint practices?
Normally when you have a joint practice, it's your ones on offense against their ones on defense, and then your ones on defense against their ones on offense.
So he's saying maybe that they won on offense but not on defense, or vice versa?
I think that's what he's saying, yeah.
Okay,
unless they did 2 days of joint practices.
Right, but he only references Sirianni and Hurts. Jalen Hurts cannot lose on defense. He doesn't play on that side of the ball.
He's unbeaten.
Right. So I don't, like, first question, what are you talking about? And then once we get that answer, which we won't, then he jumps to this. Their 77% winning percentage in joint practices is slightly higher than their 73% winning percentage in the regular season. Bottom line, Sirianni and Hurts win at a crazy high percentage. And I'm like, first of all, is there any other human on planet Earth that is assessing wins and losses to joint practices?
I can't tell you guys how he's exactly weighing a split, if it's offense versus defense or whatever. Teams do 2 days of joint practices.
Okay.
The Niners used to do it. Shanahan has moved away from it because he has always thought the team that loses day one comes out in game day two and just picks fights the whole practice.
Right.
So it hasn't been worth it.
Got it.
I think teams still do 2 days of joint practice.
Okay, because Shanahan actually has done a lot of, you know, he sort of got the guys ready for this Raiders joint practice by saying, they're going to try to fight you. Let's not fight you. Little did he know that Evan Giddings was going to spend an hour of his show talking about how he's ticked off that there are no fights in the joint practices. And I'm like, I get the concept of what he's saying
right, is
that he wants them to show some fight, and therefore fights show that they've got a little bit of that dog in them. But I also think, That's a dangerous proposition. And if I'm a veteran team, I am not interested in, for instance, putting Trent Williams out there so that Max Crosby can fight him and put him in harm's way in the preseason
right, when
20 guys are already missing.
And that's the other part of it, is they can't afford to have guys get ejected from practice because they're running thin already. And listening to Evan, and Lo Neal kind of backed him up, and so I'll give him a little bit more credence based on that, because Lo Neal from the old school, yeah, in camp, you would fight. But what it made me think about, Mark, is that we don't fight in sports at all, ever. Think about baseball bench clearing brawls.
Yeah.
We don't clear the benches anymore.
Wow.
Sometimes we clear the benches and then we mill around. It used to be where, think about, Morse and Samardzija, where Morse comes flying in and lights up Samardzija, and one of them ended up missing time.
Well,
he tackled his own guy.
Yeah, was that the
Bryce
Hunter Strickland,
Harper.
Bryce Harper thing?
It ended Morse's career.
It ended Morse's career, right? But even back then,
that
was a good one. But the majority of baseball fights
They're gone.
Are people just pushing their chest out and being like, I'll meet you outside. No, I'll meet you outside. Okay,
we don't even see the batter charge the mound anymore.
No.
And in basketball, we don't fight anymore. We might like get together and dance, or Draymond Green might choke a Frenchman, but...
And then you get suspended for an entire month.
Exactly. Yeah. So the idea of fighting in pro sports, it's kind of gone the way of the dodo bird, except for hockey, where I got these gloves and I'm going to drop them.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
And that's, by the way, I think a lot of people romanticize that. Hockey doesn't let them fight because they think it's cool. Hockey lets them fight because hockey players have weapons in their hands at all times. And the thought is if you don't create a space for them to get their competitive energy out, somebody is going to whack somebody with a stick and somebody's going to get killed.
And we've seen it.
Right. So that's why, and you even see when they fight, there's like rules. You have to put the sticks down, put your gloves down, nobody falls down, you hold each other up, and do it. It's like no one's going to get hurt doing that. By the way, and nobody else can come to the party one-on-one. If we get to 2-on-1, that's it.
Well, this year in the playoffs, in one of the series, we actually had a 5-on-5 where everybody on the ice fought.
Well, you can do Sharks and Jets if you want. Yeah, you can all dance
with each other.
West
Side Story.
God, how old are we? Anyway, you can do that if you want, but you can't actually have five people scrum on top of each other on the ground, rolling around. Like, no, you can't do that. So, yeah, I'm with you. Did you see the Cowboys, Schottenheimer, stopped a practice 2 weeks ago because there were training camp fights between his own players, and he said, do you guys want to fight? Is that what you want to do? You want to fight? If you don't stop fighting, I have an idea. Tell you what, we're just not going to practice anymore. Here's what we're going to do. It's a three-letter word. It's called run. Bye. Run.
It's one of your favorites. Take a lap.
Now. And don't stop until I tell you to.
Ready, go.
Dude, I got PTSD because of my high school basketball coach. San Mateo High School. He used to go, big lap, go.
Big
and
lap, go.
That was it. And big lap, go meant you were running around the entire school.
Yep.
Off the school grounds. And this is a major city block, Foursquare in San Mateo. And, dude, it was, like, brutal. And it, that
in your
meant,
basketball shoes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. It's like, dude, you guys stink. You're running the wrong way. Big lap, go. And you know what? It got our attention.
Yep.
Because you didn't want a big lap, go.
No.
I want a big lap, no.
That's right.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I mean, fighting, fine. If you want to fight, go ahead and fight. But I don't think that it serves much of a purpose. But to Grandy's point about two-day joint practices, day two is when that stuff starts to percolate.
Totally.
Unless you're Michael Penix Jr. and you're trash-talking after a touchdown pass, and now I'm going to be a second-year tough guy and I'm going to get into it with you. All right, go ahead and, you know, fire away. We're all competitive, and come September, there's not going to be any real fights in an NFL game because you can't afford to get ejected.
I'd love to hear all the quarterbacks get mic'd up. This is a complete quick aside, but I feel like quarterback trash talk is something that people don't know a whole hell of a lot about because every quarterback is wired differently. Do you remember when Andrew Luck was mic'd up? And they, like, if you don't know this, Andrew Luck was a wackadoodle. Not in trash talk, but almost like overly nice to everybody.
Yeah.
Somebody would plow their helmet into his chest and he'd be on the ground. He'd be like, great hit. Great hit. And then you'd slap him on the back of the head and he'd be like, nice job. Good to see you. Like he was crazy. It wasn't trash talk, but it almost worked out.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Out that way, because like, you're trying to intimidate this guy, and he's just over there complimenting you.
Yeah.
It came
Mahomes
off as
does
really
the same
weird.
Thing.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mahomes is a little bit more trashy, and he's got that Kermit voice.
Yep.
But I feel like most of us in our mind, we think the quarterback is just like, he's just there, and he celebrates. And the trash talk is between all the skill position guys on both sides of the ball. But, dude, Brady was a huge trash talker. And then I think there's others who don't say a damn word. Seeing all this Netflix stuff about Kirk Cousins is weird. He says all kinds of stuff out there, but he's so like wholesome
yep.
and nerdy that it's like it would never land. I don't know, man. They're all very cut from different cloths. I think they should all be mic'd up.
Yeah. I mean, more mics would be great on the field, and you know, the more of that access that you don't normally get, the better as a fan, you know?
No doubt. But anyway, I thought that was a very weird. I've never heard it pitched that way. 77% sure. winning percentage in joint practices.
It's nonsense.
I don't get it.
Yeah, but, and you were talking earlier about the Niners and this year. And,
3 years.
Right.
And how do you feel about the next 3 years in terms of like an optimism or pessimism meter?
Well, think about the first 3 years since they took over. The first year they started out 0-9. And they wound up 6-10. Then Garoppolo gets hurt, and you go 4-12. And off that year, you get into 2019, and you won your first 8, and you went to the Super Bowl. So that was kind of that 3-year window. And in that, you got Jimmy Garoppolo, and he did well. In the end of the first year, you signed him, and he got hurt, and that was a bummer. And then he came back in year 3, and you went to the Super Bowl. And it's interesting. I'm looking at just the first game of the year against Tampa. And Jimmy Garoppolo was kind of like what you would expect, 166 yards passing, one touchdown, one pick. Mostert ran for 40, Breida 37, Coleman 23. They had 3 interceptions and 2 pick sixes. Richard Sherman to the house,
yep.
Akello Witherspoon to the house. And so that team, Robert Saleh as your DC, had an amazing defense, a nasty D. So Jimmy Garoppolo could win games throwing for .166, you barely got to 100 yards on the ground. You won 31-17 because your defense had 3 takeaways. So it makes me think about this year and your point about Brock. Brock doesn't have to be a top 100 NFL player
nope.
if the defense is really good and you're able to not turn the ball over.
See, I think, though, that sometimes we sort of make the mistake of thinking if a defense is really good, the only way to have that happen is to have dominant players at every position. And that's just not the case. Go to that defense that you just brought up, right? The 49ers went to the Super Bowl in 2019. Do you remember how many interceptions they had the year before that?
I think it was 2.
Correct.
It was 2.
Do you know how many changes they had in the secondary to the following year when they went to the Super Bowl? I'm pretty sure it was none. It was the same people.
Was Sherm on that team that had 2 picks?
I believe so. And you can look it up. I might be wrong on. I'm not, you know, one of these like I remember the roster
Ever,
from
right.
20. Yeah, like, but it was pretty much the same personnel, and all of a sudden they were phenomenal, productive secondary. And the main reason was that Nick Bosa was on the team, and they were chasing the quarterback at a completely different rate. They were also playing those last place type schedules and things like that. And so. Robert Saleh is a phenomenal defensive coordinator. Nick Sorensen is not. Steve Wilks is, but was ill-fitting, in my opinion, and I think theirs. And so, I firmly believe this is maybe one of the most important things about this year's 49ers. This is the first time in 3 years that I believe they will play complementary football correctly. Their defensive coordinator knows what he's doing with this group in this system, had a hand in drafting these players, is working with them, is not going to keep it vanilla, and I just think you're going to get a totally different level of productivity from this defense, particularly because of the quarterbacks they're going against, who largely aren't great. And that changes everything in terms of what the other side of the ball has to do to win a football game.
Yeah, Sherm was on that 2018 team, and the next year you added Bosa, and you had you still had DeForest Buckner and Armstead, and you had Fred Warner, and you had Greenlaw as a rookie. And
you rushed the passer.
You had Keller Witherspoon. Yeah, you rushed the passer. Your front seven was disruptive, and that's what this team needs to be to play that complementary football.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.